Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
My prayer tonight, Jesus, is that you would be magnified through the teaching and preaching of your word. It would come with clarity, precision, and power. It will be specific for each person, though it is general out of my mouth. I pray that never would myself or anyone be able to remain the same after being under the preaching of the word. I pray, Lord, that you would set us on a fresh path. We will see something about you and what you want to do in us that's undeniable, and it must be responded to. Now, Lord, I pray, as I do always, will you please think through this mind, speak through this mouth. The words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you're my strength and redeemer, and every glad and happy heart say amen. Okay, we're going to be in Exodus 3. Exodus 3. We're going to start at the first verse and you're going to see that we're going to deal with our character Moses. We're going to deal with some of his life and some of his frailties. I've come to the conclusion that his life and his parallel with where we are is so uniquely intertwined. Your clock is wrong. It said I got 13 minutes to preach. Add more time. The uniqueness of Moses and the parallels between where I believe God will show us where we are, it's funny. But when I was preaching Sunday, not knowing what I would really preach today, I thought that God would take me to his identity, and he is, and we're going to go there, but it's probably going to take me a 1-2 punch. So I'm going to start in Exodus 3, and we'll see where the Lord takes us. Probably have to do Exodus 4 the next time to kind of give you, it's more of a 1-2 punch the way I'm studying it out. Okay, we're familiar with the story of Moses. His name means one drawn out of water. We know that this is unique in how much the enemy will attempt to snuff out a life and prevent it from reaching its potential. Do you know Pharaoh actually told the midwives that every male that was born should be immediately drowned, killed, immediately? And I'm here to tell you that the trial you're in, the challenges that you face, the trouble that's in your life, didn't begin because of a mistake you made. It didn't begin because you tripped over your feet yet another time. Our adversary's hatred toward God is expressed through human hatred toward one another. Vitriol, anger. Have you ever been around people who you've just given kindness to? And it's incomprehensible why they could reject that kindness and actually give you bitterness and venom. But I'm here to help you get off your neck this demonic scheme that tells you You're the source of your misery. Okay. That's why I need 3 weeks now. I just added third time because I want to take my time. No, why are we rushing? Where are we going? Before Moses was born, his life was being sought after. Snuff it out. The Bible says, before you were born, he knew you. And he intimately fashioned you together. The Bible says, you don't even take a step without his awareness. The hairs on your head are numbered. The scripture says in Psalm 139 that he instructs you in the womb. Before you were cognizant of God's involvement in your life, he was in the womb speaking to you about your divine destiny. And how is it that we put so much hope and trust and faith in natural DNA, which is your genetic code and makeup, kind of mapping out your eye color, everything about your life, as if God doesn't have a spiritual plan for you? Your mindset, your height, your weight, the family you were born in, all a part of God's divine plan. He is not unaware of your location. Pastor James, you don't know, I was adopted. He's not unaware. Pastor James, you don't know, I had abuse. He's not unaware. The vulnerable have been prey for the enemy from the beginning. Pharaoh tried to snuff Moses' life out with all the babies. The midwives feared the Lord. And the scripture says that they would not obey Pharaoh. And because they would not obey Pharaoh, it spared the life. It pleased God. Pharaoh challenged them. And he said, I'll pay y'all to kill these babies. You see, that's why, this is not a political statement, it's a biblical statement. This is why abortion, this is my message, not abortion, but I'm going to just go here for a second. Just give me a second. This is why it's a spirit. It's a spirit. It's not a choice. It's a spirit. It's not God's will. Well, come on, Pastor James. That child is nothing. Before you were born, I knew you. Jeremiah, before you in your mother's womb, I ordained you to be a prophet. That don't seem like something that's just a choice. What if Mary rejected Jesus? What if she aborted salvation? Where would you be? Where would I be? And if you're in here and that's been the story of your life, I got good news for you. He died to blot that out. He died to wash that away. But we still have to call it what it is. It is sin. Why is it important? Because the enemy did not want you to get this far. And you did nothing wrong to be hated. But if you woke up this morning thinking that there wasn't someone else that didn't even go to sleep, and they were plotting every second of the 24 hours in a day to kill you, then you're living in a delusional state. The Bible says the enemy comes, but to kill, steal, and destroy. The Bible says the devil sinned it from the beginning. The Bible says when he speaks a lie, and that's his native tongue. It says he hates you. And that's your adversary. Okay. Why is that important to understand? Because you need to know that the God-given identity that he gave you has been under attack before you even got to the planet. And now that you know your identity is under attack, when you discover things about yourself that God said you must hold on to them violently. Because when you lose your identity, it's like losing the navigation in your car or losing your compass. It's losing your way. It's losing your roadmap, and it's living out ambiguity, ambiguously. You just don't know what you're doing. All right, so here's our character, Moses. Let's go all the way back to when he's born. He's born. He's drawn out of the water. His mother puts him in a basket. Pharaoh's sister pulls him out of the water. Moses' sister was following to see where the basket goes and says, look like you found a baby. You want me to get somebody to nurse that baby for you? She said, yeah. Took Moses back to his mama, Yochebed. She nursed him till he was old enough to go be safe in Pharaoh's house. The only reason you made it this far is not because Satan went on vacation. It's not because you're smart and you're creative. It's because the Savior always has a plan to save you from the enemy's devices, even if you hadn't called upon him. You're not here because you're supposed to be. And maybe you forgot there was a reason to praise him tonight, but you ought to praise him that you're still drawing breath, because it was a design from the enemy to take the breath out of you, and it didn't work. So, my dad, when I was young, this is going to be 4 weeks. No, I'm taking my time, and I got 5 points. I'm not even to that. But I'm going somewhere. I'm always going somewhere. My dad was delusional, suffered from mental illness, got involved with a cult, became a leader in the cult. We became a part of a commune. We were very prosperous. And when we were young, he actually contemplated like a sacrificial ritual we were saved from. Now, so when I look at my own life, I look at, that's a miracle. I know you don't see me as a miracle. You just see me as a person. I'm a miracle. What I come out of is a miracle. Trained in Pharaoh's house, gets the best education, stays there till he's 40, but his divine DNA supersedes his educational upbringing and his pedigree. He sees an Egyptian tormenting a Hebrew, and the purpose that God wrote on his DNA forced him to act. But because his actions were not initiated by God, he accessed his gift without God's direction. He actually killed a man. How many times you see this in the world? Gifted artists, gifted people doing powerful things, but it wasn't initiated from God, and so it brings God no glory. It brings no one closer to God, yet their gift is really dispensed, and people really do enjoy it. He really did do what he was designed to do. He was called to be a deliverer. He delivered that particular person from the situation, but he did murder to do it. And he was in an identity crisis because a day or two later, he saw two Egyptians arguing with each other, and he tried to confront them, and their statement to him is, who are you to confront us? We saw you. We all know you killed a man and buried the body. Then Moses, realizing that the way he was going about doing reconciliation was delegitimized by the accusation that he wasn't convicted by until it was exposed. I'm going to make it practical. That's why I told you we adding weeks. I'm an African-American man living in America. It is true that there are moments of time in my life when the circumstances in our nation cause me to hesitate, to be anxious, to be worried, and to fear that history or someone else's circumstance could find me or my child. It's real. When I was not concerned about Jesus having my gift, I was the definition of a militant black man. Mendabo. That means is I was not a Martin, I was a Malcolm. Martin had a peaceful way, Malcolm, like by any means necessary. I got a bat because I'll swing it. You see, you can't serve two masters. And Moses realized that though he had a burning desire to bring resolve to injustice, he did not have a way that was initiated from God to do it. It didn't mean it didn't need to be done. It didn't mean it didn't need to be addressed. It just means that without God being in the forefront of how you're addressing it, it cannot be addressed in a way that doesn't cause others to sin as well. So I cannot pledge my allegiance to that which benefits me and ignores the tenets of my faith. I cannot celebrate that which protects me, but it disinvolves my God. Do I want all of those things? Yes. Moses attempted to get justice, which he was designed to have and bring, without the initiation from God. And he killed a man that would have killed one of his brothers, the Hebrews, the slaves. And that caused him to run. He leaves 40 years with the title and the identity, hear me, as a murderer, and not the identity as deliverer. You and I may be in an identity crisis. And one of the things that motivates sin is when we try to solve all of the challenges of our life through secular means. And God is about to show Moses how everything should be solved. And he's going to show us how everything should be solved. He runs away, doesn't seemingly have to deal with his crime. But you know what he's dealing with? Being outside of his purpose. So what are you learning here? Moses, 40 years in Egypt, God setting him up to deliver the Egyptians, does something that he's designed to do without God instructing him to do it, cost him to murder a man, caused him to run. But when he ran away, he got a wife, he got kids, and he got a new occupation, and he moved on. No one brought the crime up. And it seems as if he got to do regular life. You see, you can reject your identity. You can even hijack your identity and try to say, I'm going to use what God gave me the way I want, and it not really work out. And you can just choose in this world a whole nother life and lifestyle, and it'll work. You get your wife, kids. You got a prosperous job, but that doesn't mean you have the will of God. That doesn't mean you have his best. That doesn't mean you hit the mark. And the last I checked, We live, this is the whole duty of men, to honor God, to keep his command. You're here to serve him, to worship him with our lives. So here's Moses. And here's what the scripture helps us see through what is not said. He is not complaining about not being in Egypt. He's not complaining about the pain that he saw the Hebrews going through. He is able to literally, hear me, church, he is able to divorce himself from what he was called to do. The heart God gave him for that mission field, gone. The gift God gave him for that mission field, severed. And the life God wanted him to live, he's just living another one. And it's all working out, and he seems to be oblivious to the fact that there is more. And now we're to my first point, that God has allowed us as a church to have a title without an output. We're called Bethel World Outreach Church, but we're really inward church. Now, I'm just going to tell us the truth. We're in a closed meeting with us. The calling on us is to go out and compel others to come in. That's the responsibility. That's the calling. This is the job. And all of your gifts you've been given are for that purpose. And then anything else you get on top of that is called gravy, icing, cherry on top. You first and I first live for Christ. And that's it. And when something compromises that, your own sustainability, your own desires, your own mindset, God goes without that which he ordained and designed in you. And people who should be free by your very birth will stay another 40 years in slavery that is miserable. Let's read the text now. Now, that's called a setup. Verse 1. Ready? Read. Now, stop. Now, he is this far side of the wilderness. I want you to get this picture. As far from the will of God as possible, but working at the mountain of God. You know, God is never far from us, even when we're running from him. He's working at the mountain of God. You work at the very place where your answer is going to come. You think God can't locate you? You think something else? You think you need lightning to strike? You're right where you need to be to get this. God is showing you that no matter how far you've gone out the way, he's got you situated close enough to the mountain. He's going to reach you right in your normal pattern of living. Read. Now, a lot of people I've heard talk about, I seen an angel. I want to say they lying. Because, you know, the descriptions be too nice. It was pretty, flowing hair, it's beautiful. It's just, it's always something more terrible about it than that, you know. Angel and fire at the same time. You know, just a little point I wanted to make there. Not only is he at the mountain of God, and a bush burning was not a strange item, but a bush not being consumed was strange. And I wonder how many times God had been allowing something supernatural to happen in Moses' life that he didn't see. Because God is showing you that he was keeping Moses at the mountain, and he was always wanting his purpose out of Moses. So let's make a holy assumption. It's not in the word. I'm using my holy common sense. Imagine that God was sending him messages all along. Why is that important to think? Because otherwise our human nature says, well, if he could have helped me all along, how come he didn't do it sooner? God's character would dictate to me that he's always available. He's always made a way, but we're not always paying attention. But this particular time caught Moses' attention. Verse 3, read it. God is using peculiar things to intrigue you, to get you on point. There are things you watch on TV or see in life that you naturally pick out a thread in that no one else picks up, and typically they don't want to have that same conversation you want to have. You see the news, and your brain goes, why can't we do something to fix that? You see people lying, and you say, why can't we get everybody to take a lie detector? You see someone doing something that is not productive. You say, well, you know what we should do? Because what you're seeing is by design to trigger your identity and your gift to turn alive so that you will turn to him and say, hey, why am I thinking like this? Why am I seeing like this? What am I supposed to do? Read verse 4. The Lord is saying, wait a minute, y'all. He normally don't listen to this TV station, but he's paying attention. Are you listening to this station? Did you hear what God said prophetically on Sunday? The Egyptians that you see today, you'll see no more forever. Did you somehow doubt it? Did you turn off the station as fast as it was turned on? Or did you go home and shout to victory? Because what was burdening you yesterday cannot burden you today. This is what I'm talking about the station. God is always speaking. We are hardwired to somehow ignore quickly what he says. We don't need the enemy to purge it out. We pulling it off the stuff as fast as we get it. Here's how you know if you didn't turn to your burning bush after Sunday. Sunday was good and everything, but I still got problems. I know it feels good to be in the presence, but you know, I still don't know what we're supposed to do. You know, it feels good to rejoice, but you know, after I get home from church, I just get lost. Bush ain't doing you no good now, is it? Now you're going to say, well, how? He's talking about a burning bush. That was a prophetic word. How are they connected? Well, you keep reading, you'll see. Read. See what happens when you see, when you're in the presence of God. This is my first point, is the presence. He always, always, always is speaking to you. Always. He's always speaking to you. And when he speaks to you, it demands a response from you. He's always speaking. He's not speaking random. I prayed a prayer. I said, though it's coming out general, it would be to you specific. I said that on purpose. Because while I'm speaking generally, God the Holy Spirit is telling you specifically where to apply this word to your life. He said, hey, James, I know you're speaking my word to those people, but while you're speaking, look to your right. Here's the Rolodex of stuff I want you to apply it to. It's not your stuff, it's my stuff. Thank you. Everybody needs encouragement. So, he's speaking. And him speaking to you demands a response when you hear it. You never let God speak to you and just go silent. When Samuel heard the voice calling him, Samuel, Samuel. He got up and went to Eli and said, you call me? He said, I ain't call you, boy. He lays back down and he says, Samuel, Samuel, he hears. He go back to Eli, you call me? No, I ain't call you. Go back to bed. This is us. We hear it, but we don't discern it. Samuel, Samuel. He get up again. Eli, I know you're calling me. Ain't but two of us in the house. He said, I'm not calling you. But the next time you hear this voice, say, yes, your servant is here. He obeys. You see, he's speaking to you. The problem is when you don't, and I don't acknowledge that he's speaking with the response, yes, Lord. What did he say? Here I am. Give me that. Here I am. And he said, I'm the Lord of your father, your Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And verse 7 says this, and the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people, and I have heard them cry out because of the slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. This is amazing. Now, this is obviously the end of the message of 18 points, because I'm going to end here. But you got to see this. Oh, God, thank you. When the presence of the Lord comes, when God begins to call your name, if you can recognize it, he almost always launches you into ministry for the benefit of someone else next. Okay, I'm going to prove it. Samuel started being tutored to be a prophet. Yeah, I get him. Paul, he got knocked off a horse. He said, Paul, it's me, Jesus. You persecute, you kicking against me. I need you to go to Damascus so I can show you all you're going to suffer for me. I'm starting your ministry now. Too many times we get touched in church. Oh, my. And when you go out to eat, carnality just enters back in and you ain't launched nowhere but to the house. Do you think the divine creator of the universe just wants to tickle your fancy? Do you think he just wants to give you a little spiritual cocoa? Or do you perhaps think before you got to this planet, God had predestined you and he pre-equipped you to solve the problem of some people that were in deep misery, and that if you wouldn't show up to do the specific individual thing that you were designed to do, they could get 40 more years of misery. Because the reason my presence is here, the reason I'm speaking to you, is I have heard the cry of my people and seen what they're going through. I'm not just here for your personal prosperity and your little personal breakthrough. Moses, I didn't come here because you seem to be having a life of a pauper when I made you a prince. I'm coming here because I have a people that you were pre-designed to help, that are crying out to me, and you're taking far too long to get over your sin. So I gotta tell you, through the most miraculous way I can, get over it, buddy. I'm here, I've heard the cry, and I need you to get to work. Church, I am very clear. This is our word. And the presence of God is going to keep visiting us. Like he visits Samuel, kept calling his name, calling his identity, calling him to his office, calling him to his purpose, and saying, that's why I love that he called Moses at 80. Because it's just not too late for anybody in the room. You didn't miss your time. God is about to show us that he can take a man that wasted 40 years and make it up in less than a year. The requirement is now you're going to see how God is going to lead Moses to his yes. Because you only see Moses acknowledging, this is I know this is different. And I know it's so different. I believe, what verse 8 say, what he did? Let me get into a little bit of that. Yeah, this is the purpose. Oh, because if I go there, take it down. Because if I go there, then I have to go into the other point. I won't do that to you yet. But I tell you one of the things he did. Moses was so touched. God said, I can't have you afford to miss what I'm doing. Do you know who you're talking about? So Moses is coming over to the bush to look at it. And at some point, God said, now that you recognize me, stop. Don't come no closer. Don't come at me like we're on the same level when you're in my presence. He said, in fact, take your shoes off. Take them off, because you've been having your own life to do your own will, your own way, and you actually thought me and you was on some speaking terms that made you equal to me. So let's just clear that up. Get your shoes off, because already where you're standing is holy, is sacred, is hallowed. It's special, and I'm here. And when I show up, you better act different, think different, talk different. You're finally going to acknowledge me? Then your acknowledgement needs to start with worship. It's an act of worship for him to obey. When he had to take those shoes off, when he had to stop and take those shoes off, it was an act of worship, because obedience is worship. What if I'm telling you that what God is wanting is worship from you? And that comes with a yes. Stand to your feet. I can't apologize that God's going to take me the slow way through here, church. What's been in question in your life? It's a failure to discern why his presence came. It's a failure to understand why the bush was burning. It's a failure to understand that your name has been called and it's not too late. That what he preordained you to do, you're going to have to do. And over the next few weeks, you'll see that Moses got a lot of struggles with this. He's got a lot of challenges with this. He's got a lot of him to overcome. God ultimately is going to win the battle, and a people that were the purpose for him initiating a conversation is coming out. And I know this is hard to believe because we're so self-absorbed. I'm so self-absorbed. It's hard to believe that the motivating factor of the conversation between Moses and God was not about Moses. It was about the people. And I know we're so self-consumed that the only thing that matters to us is our purpose. But what if I told you, until you pick up another man's cause, you'll never know your own? You got to say yes to somebody else besides you. You got to say yes. So tonight I'm going to give you the secret. When you hear your name called. Because God's been trying to call you for a long time. God has been trying to call you to do that thing that you thought was too hard. That you thought was for somebody else. I can't tell you, maybe 20 years ago, I had a visitation from God. And I said, I remember saying in the prayer time, I said, Lord, where's our next Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.? When he show up, I'll follow him. Just come on, give us somebody. Every generation needs a king. He said, I'm not giving that out. He said, I gave purpose to you and lots of other people. Stand up. Do what you're called to do. You be the answer you're looking for. Stop looking at the world like what's wrong. You're the answer. This is not the message for the church down the street. This is your message. Enter into personal conversation with Jesus. The bush is burning. Close your eyes. Bow your head. You're going to take the moment. And when you hear him speak, your response is to get on your knees wherever you're at. Say, I hear you, Lord. Just take a moment. And I'm going to speak. Just listen to him speak. Some of you here, just say your name. And when you hear him, just get on your knee and receive it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yeah, yes, God. Lord, I pray for everyone in this room, those that can hear, and those that are struggling to hear. They would know the love of God. They would know the peace of God. Your hand would rest on them. all night long, you would keep on speaking. For those who haven't heard you, and hear you again. Pray, Lord, that you deliver from sin. That everyone, God, would be able to give you a yes. In Jesus' name. Look at me. If you're on your knees, God still speaks to you, but look at me. I'm going to give you a little homework. Hearing from God, I'll deal with in January, if not sooner. One of the major impediments to hearing from God is either sin or iniquity. I'm not calling everybody out. I'm telling you, you are hardwired to hear from Him. He will not deny you this. I don't have time to go into a teaching, but I can give you some homework. Ask God in this moment if there's any iniquity or sin in your life He'd ask you to deal with. I'm not calling you up. I'm giving you a homework secret. You're going to start hearing from Him quick. Sin blocks. Iniquity. Sin is a transgression, a definite violation of a rule or a standard or a guideline. But iniquity is a disposition in opposition to the will or word of God. It's an attitude. An attitude can stop you up. Go home and ask God, to, like David did, search me. See if there's anything in me not like you. I have to do it. I find stuff all the time. Get over yourself. You got stuff. You jump. We got stuff. We got to deal with it. Because in order to win this fight, you got to hear from Him. There is no other way. I'll keep teaching you how to do it. And if you can't get a breakthrough, prayer venture, come up to me. I'll tell you exactly what it is. I'll just go be led of the Holy Ghost. Better you do it than me. Grab the hand of somebody next to you. What's your name in the black shirt all the way in the back with the nice beard?
Yes.
You? Yes, you. Huh? Sam? Sam, you been coming here long? Huh? Since Father's Day? You know, the Lord's been speaking to me about you since every time my eye comes to you. You're just going to see yourself in it. Just watch God's opening some new and unique doors. And the favor of the Lord is on you. The hand of the Lord is on you. You know, sometimes you can fail to dream, and God will put some dreams and things right in front of you. You wouldn't even search for them. In fact, since you as a man, just stop searching. You are content, which is nothing wrong with that. I sense the Lord bringing things in your life that'll be a blessing and a joy to your life. And doors that have been previously closed to you, they're going to open. You're going to open very wide. You're going to say, wow, why is this coming to me? It's because the favor of the Lord, the hand of the Lord is descended upon you in this season. And my hand will not soon leave from you, my son. You'll find that I'm opening the door just to have doors consistently and constantly open in your life. You'll be a person who enjoys my favor for long periods of time, Sam God. It's a new season for you. It's a fresh season. And I'm sending my refreshing in your life. As you're holding each other's hand, I want you to make a commitment. Don't run from this season. Pray for me that I can be tough on you and love you at the same time. Pray for me that I won't back away in my own life or in your life. Pray that we'll be a church that will stand up and stand in the gap for this generation that's going the wrong way. Just pray for us. Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you would allow this word tonight to rest on us and all the words that you've spoken and the individual words you're speaking. And when we go home, you'll reveal things. God, make us new, make us better, make us different, make us powerful. We thank you, God, for the word tonight and the time tonight. We pray when we come back on Sunday through your will or Wednesday through your will, that our life will be extraordinarily upgraded. We bless you and we thank you for all things. We thank you for the hand we're holding. We pray you give them a breakthrough. We tell you give them life and life to the full. We thank you for your miraculous outpouring and your working in our lives. We're going to continue to give you praise for all things and magnify you in all ways. And all this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Some of my ministers come to the front. If you have any prayer needs whatsoever, we're here to pray for you. Hug at least three people on your way out. Tell them you love God and you love them. Thank the children's workers for all that they do when you pick up your kids. I'll see you back here on Sunday to walk the path that God has for us. And I'll see you online back here on Wednesday night. What a mighty God we serve. God bless you. You are dismissed.